Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayo Madhiraye. Nasta Prishwabhadeshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavate Tamashloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, the fourth canto, text, chapter 28, text 25 today. Vrikshamananam. Is that right? Prasabam. Vrikshamanam. Prasabam. Yavanena Baliyasa. Yavanena Baliyasa. Navindat Tamas Vista. Navinat Tamasa Vista. Sakyam Sukhridam Pura. Sakayam Sukhridam Pura. Vikrishamana Prasabam. Yavanena Balishasa. Navindat Tamas Vishta. Sakayam Suridam Pura. Vikrishyamana Prasabam. Yavanena Balishasa. Navindat Tamasa Vishta. Sakayam Suridam Pura. Vipikshamana Prasabam. Yavanena Baliyasa. Sakayam Suridam Pura. Vikrishamana Prasabam. Yavanena Baliyasa. Navindat Tamasa Vishta. Sakayam Suridam Pura. Vikrishamana Prasabam. Yavanena Baliyasa. Ladies, Vikshamana Prabhasam, Yavanena Baliyasha. Vikshamana Prabhasam. Yavanena Baliyasa. Dattamasa Vishta. Vikrikshamana. being dragged prasabam forcefully yavanena by the yavana balishasa who was very powerful na avindat could not remember tamasa by darkness of ignorance avishta being covered sakyam this his friend always a well-wisher suridam always a well-wisher pura from the very beginning translation by Srila Prabhupada. When King Paranjan was being dragged with great force by the powerful Yavana out of his gross ignorance, he still could not remember his friend and well-wisher, the Super Soul. Repeating the verse, when King Paranjana was being dragged with great force by the powerful Yavana out of his gross ignorance, he still could not remember his friend and well-wisher, the Super Soul. Report by Srila Prabhupada. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suridan sarva bhutanam gyatvamam shnitam richati santim richati. A person can be in full Krishna consciousness and become happy and satisfied if he knows but three things, namely, that the Supreme Lord Krishna is the enjoyer of all benefits, that he is the proprietor of everything, and that he is the supreme friend of all living entities. If one does not know this and functions instead under the bodily conception, he is always harassed by the tribulations offered by material nature. In actuality, the Supreme Lord is sitting by the side of everyone. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridashe rijana tishtati. The living entity and the Super Soul are sitting side by side in the same tree. But, despite being harassed by the laws of material nature, the foolish living entity does not turn towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead for protection. However, he thinks that he is able to protect himself from the stringent laws of material nature. This, however, is not possible. The living entity must run towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrender unto him. Only then will he be saved from the onslaught of the powerful Yavana or Yamaraj. The word Sakyam, friend, is very significant in this verse because God is eternally present beside the living entity. The Supreme Lord is also described as Suridam, ever well-wisher. The Supreme Lord is always a well-wisher, just as a father or mother. Despite all the offenses of a son, the father and mother are always the son's well-wisher. Similarly, despite all our offenses and defiance of the desires of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord will give us immediate relief from all hardships offered by material nature if we simply surrender unto Him, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Mame vaye prapajante mayametam tarantite. Unfortunately, due to our bad association and great attachment for sense gratification, we do not remember our best friend, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Agyanati Mirandasha Gananjana Shakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tashmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So several things came to mind when I read the verse and purport this morning. One was of the story of a man who went to see Lord Jagannath. He was a very poor man, and he didn't have any serious ability to pay very well for this pilgrimage. And his wife was with him and some children, and the wife was constantly worried, where will we stay when we reach when we reach Jagannath Puri, when we reach the place of the Lord, where will we stay? She's always anxious about this. So her husband kept saying, don't worry, I have a friend there. I have a friend there. Ultimately, they reached Jagannath Puri, and there was no place for them to stay. But the old man, he simply said, I have a friend. And somehow Krishna provided for him, made all arrangements for his satisfactory shelter. And it was an episode. Of course, I don't remember so many of the details, but the episode stuck in my mind that if Krishna is your friend, you never need to want anything. Krishna provides everything. As Christ says, my Father provides for the birds of the field and all the animals of the forest, and you're more important than them, much more important to them, as you have the human form of life, and you can understand who is God. You can understand who is actually providing for you. So don't ever think that he won't take care of you. He tells St. Peter, Peter is a fisherman, and he said, well, who will do the fishing if I go and preach with you? And Christ said, I'll make you a fisherman of men. You'll be a fisher of men. You'll bring men in your net. So this idea of spreading Krishna consciousness, spreading God consciousness, is inherent in the Vaishnava tradition, in the tradition of many different religions, to make others aware of the glories of God, to make others aware of how important God is. And in Krishna consciousness, we have a full knowledge of God. I remember as a child asking the questions that I suppose most children asked. You know, where did I come from before I was here? Any of you ask that question to your parents? Where was I before I came here? Yeah, you asked that question? You wondered about the question. Where was I? What was I doing before I came to this position as your child? Here in Florida, where I was born, where was I before? So the inclination to understand that I'm eternal is there even in a little child. Even the small child can understand, somewhere I was here. Before I got here, I must have been somewhere. So like this, we go through our childhood wondering. And when we ask questions of persons who are not in knowledge, like our mothers and fathers generally, you know, sometimes, of course, you're in a different culture. I'm in a Yavana, Yaksha, Raksha culture coming from America, but you have a different culture here. But no one could answer the questions I had. So sometimes it's interesting to note that other scriptures, they also have an idea of who is God, what is the purpose of life. I remember in the catechism in the first grade, there was a question, who is God, or why did God make us? That was the question. Why did God make us? And the answer, according to the catechism, according to the doctrine, was God made us to know him, to love him, and to serve him. So actually it is very simple and very direct and very practical. Why does God create his expansions, his many different expansions? He starts with Balaram and Radharani. Why? So they can know him, and they can love him, and they can serve him. Well, God's ambition to have service done to him is not a controller, although he's the supreme controller, is not a controller desire. Krishna doesn't desire control. He simply has it. So when we serve the Lord, though, we enter into a reciprocation with him. And this reciprocation, Jai, all glories to their lordships. This reciprocation is what Krishna really wants, and it's love. This love is not the kind of barter love that we understand in the material world. Love in the material world is called kama. For the sense gratifications, love for the senses. I do something for you because I expect that my senses will be gratified by it. But in the spiritual world is prema. Prema is there. And we love automatically without any concern for ourselves. This is the wonderful nature of the spiritual world. It is devoid of personal concern. Everyone is experiencing Krishna. Everyone is enjoying Krishna. And everyone is delighted to have service to Krishna. Everyone is absorbed, thinking constantly, where is Krishna? What's he doing? But in this world, we're avoiding Krishna. This is a world of ignorance. If I ignore you, if I turn my back on you, I never talk with you again, you're my friend, but I never talk with you again, and so forth. I just, what they call snub, you know, I snub you, or I shun you. In some religions, they have this shunning. If someone steps out of line, they shun him. They never talk to him again. So like this, if I do that, and we have all done that with Krishna, then what is the result? I don't know what he's doing anymore. I forget about him. I become ignorant of the Supreme Lord. So this ignorance covering, this comes. When we avoid the all good, it's natural that we are going to have some experience of what is bad. So the bad is the ignorance, the lack of understanding of what is or who is the all good. Krishna is the all good. So if we shun the all good, then naturally there's going to be something inferior taking its place in our minds. Our business in Krishna consciousness is to restore ourselves to our constitutional position of knowing God, loving God, and serving God. Of course, the more you know about Krishna, the more you'll love him. And the more you love him, the more you'll want to serve him. And the more you serve him, the more he'll reciprocate with you. So the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, is anxious to get that reciprocation. He created us to know him, love him, and serve him. He created us for that purpose because he wanted to expand his pleasure. We're expansions of Krishna's pleasure. And we have our own identities. This is the nature. Krishna doesn't take pleasure in matter. Someone who is addicted to sex life or whatever, he's just seeing the body. He's just involved in matter. Let me enjoy this matter. He has no regard for the person. He goes to a prostitute, pays some money, has no regard for who is that person, what is their problem, what is their difficulty, how are they experiencing life. He simply wants to enjoy his own senses. So in this way, Krishna is not this way. Krishna doesn't need to enjoy anything material. So how does he, when he expands himself in all these parts and parcels, he gives them volition. He gives them free will. They don't have to prostitute themselves to Krishna. They have to love Krishna. They actually have to be his loving consorts, playmates, parents. They have to assume that position. That's the way he created them, and that's what he would like from them. That's the kind of relationship he would like to have from them. So we're given this opportunity to restore ourselves to that constitutional position. And what does it take? It takes constant remembrance, constant training ourselves to again remember Krishna. The benefits of knowing the richest person, the benefits of knowing the richest person or the most intelligent person, the most famous person, these things are obvious. Everybody always wants to go, oh, here's some movie star. You see it on the street sometimes. Some movie star is walking by and a huge crowd forms, you know, or some political figure. A huge crowd is there taking pictures and so forth. Oh, just to get some association with this fame, maybe some of that fame will rub off on me. I'll go tell my friends, I just saw so-and-so. I just saw the prime minister. like this. So, but we have this opportunity to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead every morning. But we mustn't be like thinking, oh, this is increasing my fame. Now I'm a devotee, now I'm increasing my fame. Now I'm in touch with the Supreme Lord. Just see how wonderful I am. This is not the objective. In the spiritual world, the platform for all of the pastimes is a platform of pure humility. Pure humility. Just imagine that. Pure humility. This is the platform. This is like the floor of the spiritual world. Everything is taking place there on that platform. With the mood of understanding that without Krishna, I'm nothing. Lord Jesus Christ, he says in the New Testament, something 27 times, I think, without the Father, I'm nothing. Without the Father, I'm nothing. They want to say Krishna, Jesus is God and so forth, but he's not saying that. He never says that. He says, I'm the Son of Man and I am without the Father nothing. He demonstrates his complete dependence. So we also have to come to that platform. Krishna consciousness is not a sectarian thing. We can take from any particular scripture and say this is valid. We can understand so many different things. I was born as a Catholic and raised in that religion. And then I abandoned it when my sense gratification was very, very much challenged. And then later, fortunately, I became in touch with devotees. But I almost abandoned Krishna consciousness when I became aware that, I would have to restrict my sense gratification. This became a very, very unattractive idea to me. And I was wondering, because my friend had become a devotee, how you can do this? How can you do this? But by chanting a little bit, by reading, by getting some knowledge of Krishna, by understanding that Krishna was God, and that my place, I wasn't God. That was the byword in my generation. I'm God, you're God, we're all God. But realizing that Krishna was God and I wasn't God was a major step. Then what should I do? I thought, I should serve him. I didn't know that I should love him. I didn't understand how to love God. But I had the understanding that if God is the Supreme Person, I should serve him. You know? So when we take on that role of servant, of das, and we become the servant of the Supreme Lord, it's a very, very wonderful step for us. We may not understand all of the Krishna conscious philosophy. We may not understand the higher rasas and all the wonderful pastimes of the Supreme Lord with the gopis and so on. We may not understand that. But if we know we are servant of Krishna, then that's a very beautiful relationship. Because a servant knows I'm dependent on the master. When something goes wrong, what does a servant do? It goes to the master. What's going to happen here? I don't know what to do. He consults. And so this is what Krishna wants us to do. This is why he's appearing as the Supersoul. It's why he's with every living entity. He's there for our consultation. In material life, you have consultants. You know, they teach you how to drill an oil well, or how to smash an atom, or how to make financial consultants. Very big business in America today. And many of them know very little. But at any rate, consultants are there in all these different fields. But they're certainly fallible. They certainly don't know everything. They certainly can't be aware of all the different parameters of things. But Krishna, he is aware. And if we consult him on a regular basis, if we get into that habit, we can become aware all the time of practically everything. We can get direction at all times, what to do, how to behave, what to expect, you know, what not to expect. We can become genius, simple person, any simple person. He depends on Krishna. He can become a genius in his own right. But some person who is a genius, the next verse in the Bhagavad Gita is describing the Maya Prakriti Jnana. Someone may be a genius and he has so much knowledge, but it's stolen by illusion. He cannot understand who is God, who am I, and what is my relationship to the Supreme. He cannot understand that, and therefore he suffers. Prabhupada says in the purport here, he quotes this verse from Bhagavad Gita, Mam eva ye prapadyante. This verse is very wonderful. This is 7:14. But those who have surrendered to me can easily cross beyond it. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. So we're imprisoned here. King Paranjan Ji is imprisoned, and now he's being released from the prison, but because he hasn't trained himself to consult with the Supreme Lord, because he hasn't trained himself to give the Lord his attention and ask the Lord to save him in different circumstances, because he's been completely absorbed in the bodily concept of life, even though he had such nice karma as to become a king, because he's absorbed like that, he cannot save himself at the time of death. We know the story of Ajamil. At the time of death, he inadvertently chanted the names of Narayan. Of course, the name of Krishna, the name of Krishna, has such potency that it can take us out of the material world. It can save us from repetition of birth and death, simply chanting one time at the time of death. But Paranjani could not do that. He could not make that connection because he had not trained himself. He had given all his attention to his bodily. So in Krishna consciousness, we are being trained. And so we chant our rounds and we do our service, and we're developing love for Krishna. We like to see the deities. We like to serve. But sometimes, I know myself personally, I'm very much missing an opportunity. A missed opportunity is something that quite often people will talk about. Oh, I didn't get the chance to do this. I didn't get the chance to do that in my life. I missed this chance, that chance. But actually, so much of that is really a foolish thing. You could have had the chance. You could have taken advantage. You could have done it. You didn't miss it. You neglected it. Out of ignorance, you rejected it. So let us not reject Krishna. Let us take full advantage of this consultant who is there within our heart and ready to help us with every problem we have, every material problem we have. We have in Krishna consciousness, we have spiritual problems. How to get from A to B, how to do this, that, or the other. Why? For the benefit of Krishna, for the benefit of Lord Krishna. We have given ourselves, sold ourselves to Krishna. And the price that he's paid for us is to give us his love. So we can reciprocate with that love because now we know that he's there in our hearts, anxious for us to reciprocate. We can do that. It's not a missed opportunity if we concentrate on realizing that Krishna is there in our heart. Please, my dear Lord, give me intelligence to do this, that, or the other, whatever you want. So when we surrender like that, our life becomes a dream, becomes a breeze, as they say in America. A cool breeze is very refreshing. So life becomes a breeze, very easily, just flowing along. And we want to get to that stage. We don't want to feel, oh, I have to get up and I have to do this and I have to go there and so forth. Especially, you don't want to feel like you have to do those things when you get to the old age. Because that just increases the pain and the difficulty that we experience when we feel like we have to do this and we have to do that. But when we do things because we like to do them, because they're attractive to us, then we become very much satisfied in our minds. This is where work becomes like play, where the hobby becomes the business of however we maintain ourselves. It's our hobby. The hobby is like a fun thing that we do, and the work is not a fun thing to do. But when the work becomes the hobby, then it becomes very, very nice. So our hobby in Krishna consciousness is to become pure devotees of Krishna. To imitate the spiritual master, not imitate, but to follow in his footsteps and try to develop the transcendental intelligence that he had. That's not something is beyond our reach. That's not something that we cannot get. Prabhupada wants us to have that transcendental intelligence, to understand, I'm Krishna's servant, this is what he's asked me to do, if I do this, I'll be happy. And if I'm having difficulty in doing this thing, all I have to do is ask Krishna's help. Krishna, help me. Krishna, help me. This is not a material thing to ask Krishna's help if you're doing devotional service. It's not a material thing. It's a consultation with the Supreme. So this is what we're asking, that we become more and more Krishna conscious. That's why we're here. It's the nature of our institution. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So let us participate in that wholeheartedly. And how does that participation begin? By introspection. By introspection. How can you participate fully in anything unless you give yourself fully to it? But you can't give yourself fully to anything unless you know what you're doing. If you set about to do any kind of work, cook or paint a room or lay a tile floor like this. You see some man who is laying a tile floor in the back of the alley there. If you go about trying to do that and you have no experience of it, it's very difficult. You don't know really what's going to work, what's going to actually keep the floor down, you know, what's going to keep the paint on the wall. You paint over something that's dirt or something and the paint just peels off. You have to know. If you're cooking and you don't know what you're doing, it can be a disaster. It can poison someone. So you have to know what you're doing. So to get that enlightenment, we have to consult Krishna. We have to take from the spiritual master who is giving instruction on how to behave, what to do with one's life, how to act, how to pursue Krishna consciousness. And then you also take instruction from the Supreme Lord himself. In this circumstance, what should I do? So this is our very unique opportunity. Here we are in this palace. We're all like princes and princesses. We have obligation now to the rest of the world to lead them in Krishna consciousness. And if we follow through with that responsibility, we'll be very, very happy and very successful. If we neglect that responsibility, if we ignore it, we'll not be happy. We'll not be successful. And we'll eventually wander away back into the ignorance that we found ourselves in not too long ago. So to get free of that ignorance, just always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. A simple rule. That's the main rule of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said. Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. And know that Krishna is in your heart and he's there for a consultation and he's there for your prayer. He's there for you. He's there for you. That's a phrase in America. I'm there for you. You know, insurance companies use that phrase. But what can they insure? They cannot insure anything. What assurance can they give you that you'll live another 10 minutes? They can't give any insurance. They can't give any assurance. But Krishna can give full assurance. Your eternal soul. You're going from birth to birth to birth, death to death to death. So stop it. Stop having to ask that question, where did I come from? Where was I before I was here? Stop being in ignorance and gain the transcendental understanding of who you actually are and where you actually belong. And that is there for us. And following Krishna consciousness, we'll get to that point. So I thank you very much. If there's any questions or comments. Yes, Rupa. You want the mic? Here, take the mic. We have, there you go. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. So you said we have shunned the all good. So this material world itself consists of 1/4 of Lord's creation. And, I mean, in wholesale, living entities have shunned the all good.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite understand. The world, the material world is 1/4 of the Lord's creation,
yeah.
And then what?
I mean, it's quite a big number.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And I mean, all these living entities are coming from all good. And how come are they so dull that they have shunned all good?
Well, it's stated here, you know, that the one becomes covered with ignorance when he neglects the Supreme Lord. This, actually, I wanted to read and I didn't read further in the Bhagavad Gita. This particular verse explains that covering. The conditioned soul is therefore called Nityabada. Living entity belonging to the eternal superior nature of the Lord, but due to contamination by the inferior nature, matter, their illusion is also eternal. The conditioned soul is therefore called Nityabada, or eternally conditioned. No one can trace out the history of his becoming conditioned at a certain date in material history. Consequently, his release from the clutches of material nature is very difficult, even though that material nature is an inferior energy, because material energy is ultimately conducted by the Supreme Will. Which the living entity cannot overcome. You cannot overcome God's will. And if you have a desire to ignore God and to be separate from God, he creates arrangements for you. He creates this illusion. So that's what happens. Living entities decide. Yeah. See, it's not that 1/4 of all the souls in the world, or all the souls in existence, are in the material world. It's just there's a lot of matter here. A lot of matter. Of course, sometimes it's understood that souls inhabit matter and rocks. Sometimes they actually end up in the rocks of the mountains. This is an extreme desire to be extremely ignorant of God, not to appreciate anything practically, deaf, dumb, and blind to God and God's creation. So, how come? It's because of the desire. Living entities have different desires. It's also described that the material world is only like the footstool. You know, you have a little stool for your feet. It's like the footstool of God. So it's not that it's too big a place for Krishna to handle, or it's not that it's a great alternative because so many people want to be here. People are here because they don't understand how well off they had it in the spiritual world. They're here because they get contaminated by material energy. They go for the glitter, it's said. You know, they go towards the glitter. They have a choice to go towards Krishna or glitter. And, oh, that looks good over there. I can be in control there. So much of the anxiety created in the material world is because people want to be in control. And they want control so badly that they do it in the name of God. In the name of God, we have this war. First war, second war, world war, all the wars now, all the terrorism, all this is in the name of God. So God has very bad public relations, you know, because all of these heavy guys are coming around shooting people or blowing them up, and they're saying, I'm doing this for God. But this is not, if anyone has any brain at all, he understands this is not what God wants, that you should go out and kill other living entities just because they have a different concept than you. But out of control, someone takes an ignorant person and he says, I want you to kill this person. And that person, because he's groomed that person, he's treated them in a certain way, that person is, I'll do what you say, yes, you're my God. This is all mode of passion. People in the mode of passion, they worship other human beings as God. So I'll do it for you because I think you have my best interest at heart. But that person has no best interest for that person. That person who is directing the annihilation of this group or that group, that person is simply desiring control. He has no desire to serve God. He simply wants control. And he wants it so badly he'll do it in the name of God. This is why Krishna consciousness is so refreshing, is we have no political agenda. We're not interested in taking over the world, and we're not interested in forcing people to become Krishna conscious. Krishna gives them that choice, and we respect that choice. But we do have obligation as a decent person to another decent person to inform them, oh, you have this opportunity here, you have this right, you know. We have a sales pitch. Let us tell you our sales pitch. We have a wonderful program. But it has to be voluntary. Krishna doesn't want people who come at the point of a gun. And he doesn't want people that come just for some rice, you know, some material benefits. He doesn't want that. He'll accept that, though. If people are pious and they pray for bread and he gives them bread, then and they respect him because of that, he'll accept their respect. Krishna is very, very liberal. He's very liberal. Whatever little thing you want to do for him, he'll accept and he'll appreciate. So we want to do something very big for Krishna. We want to give ourselves to Krishna, give ourselves back to Krishna. Now that's a big thing. We won't be able to do that alone, though. We can't just say, oh, I'm going to give myself to Krishna. How do I do that? We have to have spiritual master to tell us. We have to have instruction. We have to have not just the super soul, but we also have to have the manifestation of the super soul, the spiritual master, to help us and guide us in this process. But the spiritual master never tells you don't consult Krishna. You know, he may say you're not ready to do this on your own, but he'll never say don't consult Krishna. Some information. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Because Krishna created material world, the living entity is still like fulfilling their material desire. Suppose Krishna had not created material world, what would have these living entities do?
You
would
have
they
to
simply
ask,
keep quiet?
You have to ask Krishna that question when you go back to see him. You know, what would you do if there was no material world? My dear Lord, what would you do with all these living entities that want something different? But you got to understand how perfect his plan is. If someone has a perfect plan, you don't ask the question, well, why couldn't it be like this or why couldn't it be like that? Why not just make a heaven where everybody enjoys so much and so forth? Well, the answer is if you reject the all good, you can't have it all good. In the spiritual world, it's all good. But once you reject the all good, when you reject the personification of the all good, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, when you reject that in order to get some power yourself, to get some enjoyment independent of Krishna, you can't do it. It's like a little child trying to drive the car. His parents drive the car to the temple and so forth, and then he gets in the car, he tries it, he can't do it. The car is there, he has two hands, he has eyes and so forth, and maybe he can even reach the pedals, but how far will he go? You know, he'll hit something, bang. Because he doesn't know, he doesn't have the experience, he doesn't understand what he's doing. So when the living entity desires to be separate from Krishna, he doesn't know what he's doing. He's no longer in a position to be able to offer love and respect and enjoy Krishna's reciprocation. He's given that up. So how can it be all good for him? You can't create a world that's all good for those who reject the all good. This is the nature of God, is God is a person. You're part and parcel of that person. If you reject part of your life, a big part of your life, which is God, how can you have a good life? You can only have a good life if you're in cooperation with your friends, your family, and so forth. Of course, no one's ever perfectly in cooperation with those people. But we can get to the point where we're perfectly in cooperation with the Supreme Lord. We can. That is our objective, and that is what is offered to us, pure devotional service. We can come to that platform. And once we do, we understand there's nothing beyond Krishna. So it's like asking, can we have something beyond Krishna where we don't have to kowtow, we don't have to bow down? No, you can't. It just doesn't exist. Because Krishna is everything. He creates the heavenly planets. You can go there and enjoy for a long time. When the living entity first comes to the material world, he goes to the heavenly planets. But because slowly he gets more and more enamored with himself. Oh, look, I have this great opulence that I can enjoy. I can enjoy so much, you know. He becomes enamored with himself and he avoids more and more Krishna. He puts Krishna further and further out of his mind. And then he tumbles. He tries to, actually Bhavananda Swami, who had much difficulty, he had some discussion with Hari Sari. Hari Sari told me, he said, when you first try to exploit your position in spiritual life, you know, for your own sense gratification, he said, then the trouble begins. So that's it's a warning to all of us when we try to present ourselves as something special. I get so much respect here because I'm Prabhupada's disciple. And that's very good for you to give that respect. But I have to be very careful that I don't take that and start to think I'm something important or wonderful. because I'm not. I'm a very fallen conditioned soul and I'm struggling to return to full Krishna consciousness. And that's not easy for me, it's possibly not easy for you, because I'm so conditioned, I'm so determined to enjoy. You know, so determined to enjoy. So, I have to be very careful. If you know you have a problem, you can solve it. If you don't know you have a problem, you can't solve it. So we have this problem, conditioned soul. Conditioned means I'm trapped, I'm tied head and foot, as Prabhupada said. And no one can untie me except someone else who is liberated. So Prabhupada is liberated and he's given the formula and I have confidence that eventually that will happen. But when I get close to liberation, I mustn't think, oh, now I'm God, now I can enjoy, let me exploit. You know, one must be extremely careful. Because by following regulative principles, by chanting Hare Krishna and so forth, you'll get powerful, you'll become powerful. Become attractive and so forth. You can attract, you can get disciples, you can do all these things and so forth. And then what will happen? if you start to think, oh, I'm really good, you make that mistake. Because the all good is Krishna. And that's where our heart has to go, towards Krishna, not into ourselves and, gee, I'm really doing good. It's again, we get back to this, in the spiritual world, everything is played out on a platform of pure humility. Pure humility. So that's the position we need to come to. So, thank you very much. Any other questions or comments? No? Jai. Hare Krishna. O glorious to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Thank you.